Rabbi Yechiel Emanuel.
Good morning, Chodesh. We began this morning hearing the shofar, which we're going to hear the entire Chodesh, all the way up until Rosh Hashanah Beis Hashem. And we began this morning in the David Hashem. Some began last night already. I'd like to begin with two ha'aras about shofar, about shofar in Elul, and from the David Hashem already, and we'll go from there. The Das Kenyan Mivale Atosis in Parashas Ekev tell us that there's an interesting reason which they bring for why we blow shofar and why it was blown in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. In order to understand it, we look back at historically what took place in the first year that Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar. The first year Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, we know in year 2448, Klal Yisrael exited Mitzrayim, there was Yetzias Mitzrayim, followed 50 days later by Mamad Har Sinai. And at Mamad Har Sinai, they heard the Aseres HaDibros. We didn't receive anything tangible yet. There was no Luchas, there was no Sefer Torah, even though all the pictures that we get as primary school children do show that. But at Mamad Har Sinai, there was the fact that we heard the Aseres HaDibros. The Rebbeinu Shlomo spoke to us, Moshe Rabbeinu took over, we heard the Aseres HaDibros. The following day, Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai in order to remain there for 40 days, to hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Torah and mitzvahs, with the intention of coming down 40 days later on Yud Zayin Tammuz with the Luchas Rishonos in order to then continue to teach Klal Yisrael Torah. However, a calamity befell Klal Yisrael when the Rebbeinu Shlomo sent Moshe Rabbeinu down and told him, Lechreid Kishich Es Amcha, that there's been a churban in Klal Yisrael, there's been an egel, which even though it was only a minority of Klal Yisrael that were over the egel, but the responsibility lies with the entire people. And Moshe Rabbeinu descended with those first luchas and smashed those luchas. The next day, Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai for a second time, this time with the intention of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he shouldn't annihilate Klal Yisrael. And he managed to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyach, to acquiesce to those requests, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo sent him back down and told him, go down, psol lecha shnei luchos avonim korishonim, and then bring those up. And Moshe Rabbeinu ascended for a third lot of 40 days with the set of luchos that he himself had crafted, with the intention of taking those, the Rebbeinu Shlomo would place on them the michtav elokim, and he would then bring those down. The Gemara in Meruba asks, why is it, there's a discussion in the Gemara in Meruba as to why we lain on the particular days that we do lain. We lain on a Shabbos, we lain on a Monday, we lain on a Thursday, and the Gemara's got a discussion as to where that began, who was misakin that, was it Moshe Rabbeinu, was it Ezra HaSofer? The maskana of the Gemara is that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nevi'im in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klal Yisrael went from the Yamsuf to Morah, and they were 3 days without learning Torah, and then they started to complain, the Nevi'im at that time instituted, there was a takana, that Klal Yisrael should not go 3 days without learning Torah, and therefore it was instituted that some place during the week, Klal Yisrael would lain and ensure that there isn't a 3 day gap between the days that they lain. Ezra Sefer was Misakin, how many people are called up at each particular time. Tosfos there, Meruba asks, why is it that Shabbos, actually he doesn't discuss Shabbos, Shabbos seems to be moving me'elov, why? And that's because of the Yoshvi Kronos, you know, that if Shabbos afternoon we wouldn't have a laning, then there may be a problem with just wailing away the time without anything constructive. Therefore, Chazal Mesakin, that we lain on Shabbos afternoon. But Tosfos inquires, why is it that we chose Monday and Thursday to be the subsequent days during the week when we don't lain? In the end of the day, you can have a variety of different combinations to ensure that you don't go for 3 days without learning Torah. You're anyway laning on Shabbos, take a break Sunday, Monday, lane Tuesday, take a break Wednesday, lane Thursday. That would be one option. The other option could be that you do Monday like we do, and then take a break Tuesday, do Wednesday, and a break Thursday, Friday. Why is it that Monday and Thursday were chosen? And Tosfos in Meruba tells us, because that third time that Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai, he went up on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. And that year, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul happened to fall on a Thursday. And he descended on, with the second Luchas, on Yom Kippur that year. And Yom Kippur that year happened to fall on a Monday. How do we know that? So the Baalei Tosfos tell us about a yesod, about a code that the Torah in Hilchos Pesach brings as well, that there's the Atbash code, where you take the first and the last letter of the Aleph base, the Aleph and the Tov, the base, the second letter, and the penultimate letter, the third letter, and the anti-penultimate letter, etc., etc., and you form for Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, and you then bring your combination to work out. What do we work out? As soon as we know on which day of the week the first day of Pesach is going to be, we can work out when the subsequent days of Yom Tov are going to begin, on which day of the week. For example, we know this past year that first Seder night was on a Friday night, was on Shabbos. First day Pesach was on Shabbos. So Aleph, first day Pesach, is represented with the word Aleph, that was on a Shabbos. That corresponds to the last letter, the Tov, which is Tisha B'Av. And this year Tisha B'Av was also on Shabbos. The Tzoyim was Nidche, but Tisha B'Av was on a Shabbos. Beis goes with Shin. Beis goes with Shin. The second day of Pesach will always fall to be when Shavuos is. And this past year, second day of Pesach was Matzah Shabbos. Second Seder, Shavuos was Matzah Shabbos. Gimel goes with Reish. The third day of Pesach this past year was on a Monday. This year, Sunday night Monday. This coming year, Rosh Hashanah is going to be Beis Hashem on Sunday night Monday. Dalud goes with Kuf, which is Kriya, Simchas Torah. This coming year, Simchas Torah will be on a Monday night, Tuesday. Hey goes with Tzadi. Tzadi is Tzoyim, Yom Kippur. And again, this year, if we work it out, so we've got Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yom Kippur this coming year will be on a Wednesday. And Vav, the sixth day of Pesach, goes with Pei, which is Purim. But here's the Venahapaychu. It's not the upcoming Purim, it's the past Purim. I suppose in case anyone doesn't remember what, when and Purim was, so if when you reach the sixth day of Pesach, it reminds you it was on that day of the week when Purim happened to have been. That's the combination, the code that is brought in the Torah. And the Baal HaTosfos tell us that that year that Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, we know Chazal tell us they exited Mitzrayim, the first day of Pesach that year was on a Thursday. Thursday, let's make a cheshbon. Thursday, therefore, would mean that the second day Pesach, which corresponds to the Shin, which is Shavuos, would have been on an Erev Shabbos. So we know the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that everyone is moider that the Shabbos nit not Torah. Well, that's because Moshe Rabbeinu was Moisif Yom Echad Midatoi. So even though that year, according to the code, Shavuos should have been on an Erev Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu was Moisif Yom Echad Midatoi, and that year Mamad Har Sinai was on a Shabbos. Let's speed forward now to when Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yud Zayin Tammuz. What day of the week was that? Well, that day of the week, that year, we can work it out. Because Aleph, first day Pesach, corresponds to Tov, which is Tisha B'Av. Yud Zayin Tammuz is always 3 weeks to the day earlier than Tisha B'Av, but the same day as Tisha B'Av. So if that year, the first day Pesach was on a Thursday, when Moshe Rabbeinu was destined to come down and came down with Luchos Rishonos, just unfortunately, we didn't receive them because they were broken on his way down, but that descendancy of Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael with the Luchos took place on a Thursday, corresponding to at the first day of Pesach. Then let's speed forward to what day that year would Rosh Hashanah have been. So we can work it out. That day, Rosh Hashanah corresponds to the third day of Pesach, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. That year, Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos, first day Sukkot fell on Shabbos. It's beautifully, therefore, understood why in Parashas Emor, which is talking about that first year Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, it talks about Rosh Hashanah there as being a zikra in Truah. Not because they didn't blow shofar that year, but they did, and they blew it on Shabbos. But when Chazal were looking for a smach in the Torah, that they could be oikah a mitzvah say b'shev altas, and where did they find it? They found it in the word zikra in Truah, which corresponded to when Klal Yisrael themselves had Rosh Hashanah on a Shabbos. And therefore, to future Doris, that would be known as a zikra in Truah. What day of the week was Yom Kippur that year? So Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, the fifth day of Pesach, it was Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. Yom Kippur was on a Monday, and that's when Moshe Rabbeinu finally descended with the Luchos Shniyos. And we got those Luchos Shniyos. Say the Baal HaTosfos. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to our Sinai, as Tosfos in Merubah tells us, on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. At which point he told Klal Yisrael, blow shofar every single day, starting tomorrow, for 40 days, and it should end when I come down with the second Luchos, in order that they don't repeat the same mistake that they made. And the Baal HaTosfos say, that's why we blow shofar during Elul. to remind us of the time that Klal Yisrael were mitzvah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm now going to ascend to our Sinai for a third time. Now this time, don't make the same mistake that you made the first time, where you calculated day one when I went up as being the first day, but rather start blowing shofar tomorrow, and whoever blows will make a cheshbon for themselves that they're blowing for 40 days, and that will culminate with the day that I'm going to descend with the Luchos Shniyos. Hence, we blow shofar. We got to stop at Rosh Hashanah. That year, they continued all the way through to Yom Kippur. But say the Balei HaTosfos more than that, that year we see that Moshe Rabbeinu descended with Luchos Rishonos, and there was a potential for Klal Yisrael to receive Torah that year on a Thursday. That we could have received Luchos Rishonos and begun learning Torah with Moshe Rabbeinu on a Thursday, because that's when Shiva Asar B'Tammuz was that year, corresponding to the first day of Pesach. We didn't get it, but the Hashpah in the world remains for a Nesinas HaTorah on a Thursday. Finally, when did we get Luchos Shniyos, resulting from which Moshe Rabbeinu began to teach us Torah? That took place on a Monday, because Yom Kippur that year was corresponding to the fifth day of Pesach. If Pesach began on a Thursday, the fifth day is on a Monday. Yom Kippur that year was on a Monday, and since Yom Kippur was on a Monday, there remains a hashpah in the world for Nesinas HaTorah and Kabbalah HaTorah on a Monday as well. Hence, say the Balei HaTosfos, we lay in on the Shabbos because our Kol Moedim Shabbos Shabbos Nitna Torah. Ma'amad Har Sinai was on Shabbos. We lay in on a Monday and a Thursday because the first Luchos and second Luchos were either potentially there for us, or finally we did get them, but it was on a Monday and Thursday, the days that are chosen by Chazal for us to lay in order that we don't go for 3 days without learning Torah, are carefully and specifically chosen because they are the days during which we receive the Kabbalah HaTorah, which is a yesod that's spoken over by many of the Mefarshim and many of the Baalei Machshava and Baalei Musa, that whenever something took place in history to Klal Yisrael, it wasn't something that took place just then. There remained that, call it spiritual energy, or that hashpah in the world, that we would continuously be able to shed from that throughout the doros. And therefore, on a Monday and Thursday and a Shabbos, we are able to draw down the hashpah of Kabbalah HaTorah and the Nesinas HaTorah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. During the time of Elul, we are able to draw down from that reminder that we're now getting ready not to repeat the mistakes that we made in the past by hearing the shofar every single day. One may ask, so that was the first year Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar. Were they not just given, just before they left Mitzrayim, were they not given a mitzvah to be Mekadesh Zachodesh Al Piyar Ha'iyah? This formula works very well according to the calendar that we have. The calendar we have, which works according to the Chesed, that we know that there are 29 and a half days and 793 Chalokim in every single Chodesh. Based on that, we know the formula, and therefore we can work with Atbash. But were they not given a mitzvah just before they left Mitzrayim, the first collective mitzvah to Klal Yisrael, to Mekadesh Al Pi Ha'iyah, and here a few months later they're going and they're not even doing that, they're going with the authentic formula that we have? The answer is Rabbeinu Bachai in Parashas Boy brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that the entire time Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, they were not Mekadesh Al Pi Ha'iyah, because they were enveloped in the Anane HaKovet and they could not see the moon when it was Bechidusha. And since they couldn't see the Levana Bechidusha, says Rabbeinu Chananel, they were not Mekadesh Al Pi Ha'iyah, they used the formula that we have. In fact, Rabbeinu Bachai there says that for a subsequent few hundred years, they weren't Mekadesh Al Pi Ha'iyah, and he brings various different rayas. Al-Gavonim there, at least, we know, at least for that first year, or those next subsequent 39 and a half years, the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, they use the same formula that we have now. So what we do is being Mekadesh Al Pi Ha'iyah is not something, what we are doing with our calendar today is not something that's new. It's something that Klal Yisrael began with when they were in the Midbar, and that continued through till today. And that's one ha'ara I wanted to share with you regarding shofar. Regarding the tefillah of Nedavid Hashem Eri V'Yishi, which we are now going to be saying for the next up until Shmini Atzeres, the Malbim brings a very wonderful insight into the last few psukim that David HaMelech is telling us when he says this kapitel of Nedavid Hashem. It has its relevance to Elul, it has its relevance to understanding Hashkochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is something which everyone, when it comes around to this time of year, we begin to refocus and wonder and try to be a bit more perceptive about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs his world. And David HaMelech said, Horeini Hashem darkecho, unechini boyach misha. Rabbeinu Shalom, please teach me your derech, unechini, and lead me boyach misha along a path that is of those who are yeshorim, leman shoyeroi. And he said like this, Lulei he'emanti lirois betuba Hashem be'eretz chayim, if not for the fact that I had emunah, lirois betuba Hashem be'eretz chayim, I would have fallen. And the Malbim says beautiful words. He first explains the pshat according to the pashat, the Pashtoifin that David HaMelech was talking about, the Emunah that he had, that he would be able to get back to Eretz Yisrael, and be able to, even when he was by the Plishtim, he would be able to get back eventually to Eretz Yisrael, and even those people who had said Eidus Sheker about him to Shaul HaMelech, and had tried to wipe him off the map, that they would be somehow removed, and he would be able to return to where he wanted to be. And then he says like this, L'das Chazal in Brochus Daf Dalet, Kivein b'mash kosav be'eretz chayim al schar ha'olam haba. David HaMelech is speaking about here the schar of olam haba. And this is going to help us to understand where the Rambam tells us that every year on Rosh Hashanah, if a person has roiv sechuyos, then he's nichtav in sifrei tzadikim lechaim. Roiv averis nichtav in sifrei shrushoim and lemisa. And how does that work? And we know that with the beinanim, it has to be, and what exactly beinanim are, and how they work. Famous kashas that are discussed. Says the Malbim like this. So ledatom, according to Chazal, mashakosua, what David HaMelech meant when he said, mashakomar, ki komu vi edei sheker, the Eidei Sheker came against me. What are we referring to over here? We're not referring to human beings as Eidei Sheker, but Hainu Hadeos Hachitzoynes Shenoldu Beliboy Al Eidei Shera Tzadik Oivei Betzidkoi. David HaMelech was perplexed, and he said that the question that troubled him to the extent that he found this a terminal trouble to his emunah was the question of Tzadik Veraloi. How can it be that I see over here that there is a tzaddik over betzidkoi, shemizeh yam dutanis neged ha-hashkofa. When a person sees that, one wonders. The Torah tells us in mechukos ha-teilechu, and there's a whole pekel brachos. And if chas v'shalom not, then the Torah tells us the opposite. Yet we see and we look at the world and we wonder that we seem not to understand that things don't work as the Torah seem to prescribe. K'moshi yisvayi b'sefer iyo, v'ha'eid ha-meid al-tanis eile, ha-yodobid ba'atzmoi, onyoi umach oivav. Rak. So David HaMelech, al yedei ha'emuna ba'olam haba, yisbatlu kol ha'tanus eile. Through my emuna, in the fact that there is an olam haba, and what it represents, that counteracted all the questions that I had, viewing the world from the eyes that I looked at them, up until I had emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in olam haba. Ki tachas yisuri ha'tzadikim ba'olam hazeh, be'eretz ha'chayim, mishne yirshu la'olam haba. Where the tzadikim have yisurim in this world, the result from that is that they will inherit a double portion in Olam Haba. Ubozeh botlo ha'idus ha'sheker hazeh miyisuri ha'tzadikim lohoi bozeh neged ha'ashkocha. And this helped me to nullify the edus sheker that was cropping up in my mind from seeing tzadik v'raloi. I was able to annul that and annihilate that with the new understanding of what Olam Haba is and what yisurim serve a person towards that in Olam Hazeh. Had I not believed in seeing that everything is focused on getting us towards Olam Haba, hayukomim bi belibi ubemachshavoisai edei sheker bifeachomos lichboy bahashkocha ubischavoinish. Had I not had this newfound emuna in what Olam Haba represents and how we get there and what it results, how it results in what Olam Haba brings us, I would have had these questions that would have taking me away from my emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, said David HaMelech, Avakeish, I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayreini Hashem Darkecho. U'komoy shekotsu Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem, Al She'ilo Zu, Hareini No Eskoidecho. Moshe Rabbeinu asked in Barash Kisiso, Hareini No Eskoidecho. And I heard two beautiful Mashalim that are written in the Sefer, Ben HaNozir VaHamelech, of one of the Rishonim. Ben HaMelech VaHanozir. By one of the Rishonim, he says these two Mishalim, which are very powerful Mishalim, to understand this concept that David HaMelech was perplexed with over here about Schar Va'inesh and Tzadik Veraloi. And he says there was a year of famine. There was no food to be found. People were starving. If people were starving, their pets certainly were starving, because any food they had, they kept for themselves. They came before the animals. And there was a dog that was roaming around town, searching through the rubbish piles as it normally did for something to eat, scavenging here and there, but could not find anything. Until eventually it sees in the distance what it looks to it like a bone. And it comes and it races and it gets to the bone with the last koichas that it has, and it sees taka, a bone. But there's no meat left on the bone. It's dry. It's a dry, dry, heavy bone. But he thinks, you know what, maybe there's a little marrow inside. And if I can get to that marrow, that will be some sort of nourishment that will last me perhaps till tomorrow. And the dog takes this bone and starts to bite with its teeth, with the last koichas that it has, but as powerfully as it can, to try and penetrate into the depths of that bone to pull out some marrow. And he's biting and he's biting and he's biting, and suddenly he feels, oh, there's a bit of moisture there. and there's moisture that I can actually draw. Oh, I've reached the marrow, I've reached the inside. So he bites even harder, and he tears even deeper. And he bites, and he bites, and there's more moisture coming, and more moisture coming. Until eventually his koichas go and go, and he's found dead in his own pool of blood. Said the Ben Hanoziv HaMelech, that's a description of Rosh HaVatovloi. In this world, we may view sometimes as a Rosh HaVatovloi, he seems to have everything at his disposal. He seems to have Olam Hazeh in a wonderful way. This defies what the Torah has told us in Parashat Bukhu Kaisa and in Parashat Kisove, that if someone doesn't adhere to what the Torah tells them, then, and here this Rosh HaVatovloi seems to have everything he wants. The Ben HaMelech HaNozer, what's the explanation? That the Rabbeinu Shalom has a cheshbon like this. He asks Kaviyochel a person, with what matorah do you live your life? Do you live your life with a goal of achieving Olam Hazeh? Or do you live your life with a goal of achieving Olam Haba? What is your ultimate goal? Not what you have. Rabbeinu HaKadosh had everything, but his ultimate goal was Olam Haba. What's the ultimate goal? In other words, what currency do you want me to deal with you? With what currency would you like me to deal? And it depends if the person's whole she'ifa is towards Olam Haba. So the Rabbeinu Shalom will make a cheshbon like this. Look, you want Olam Haba, you performed a huge amount of mitzvahs, avoda, gemilas chasadim, which are all deserving of Olam Haba. But you want Olam Haba. You really don't want Gehenna at all. In that case, ein odom ba'aretz asher yaaseh tov v'lo yechta, everyone has done a certain amount of avirus. So they have to be eradicated. So there's tshuva, a person does tshuva, a person has a certain amount of golus, a person has a certain amount of yisurim, and those take away, those rub away the oinishim that a person would have got, because the yisurim a person has in this world take away a fortune of what chas v'shalom a person could have to get in Gehenim instead of them. And that's the Rebbeinu Shalom. You see a tzaddik. It's a tzaddik. He sees everything that he's doing is right. You're right, but it could be on his dargah there's something for which the Rabbeinu Shalom has a cheshbon with him. His currency that he deals with the Rabbeinu Shalom is in Olam Habadik. He doesn't want any Gehenim. So the Rabbeinu Shalom says, there's a few things over here that I have to eradicate. How will I do that? I'll give you a Yisurim Ba'olam Hazeh. Ultimately, what you'll be zoicha to is a complete, pure, entire Olam Haba. Conversely, Arosha, he's dealing with, he's not interested in Olam Haba. He's told the Rabbeinu Shalom from his Hanhoga and his mission in life and his feelings and something which we may not see, but the Rabbeinu Shalom has seen, and that is his currency is Olam Hazeh. Says Rabbeinu Shalom, okay, look, you know what? You said a few times Amen, you did a few Maisa Chesed, but your currency is Olam Hazeh, in which case the Schar comes in Olam Hazeh, the currency. And one Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba, in Olam Haba, then you transfer that to currency, the exchange rate, to what it's worth in Olam Hazeh, is more than anything that a person can even receive in Olam Hazeh. So the Rabbeinu Shalom gives the Rosh an abundance. But what he's doing is actually rubbing away and ruining, taking away, using up his own Olam Haba. Says the Ben HaMelech HaNosi, what he's doing is, it's that, like that dog who's biting and biting and thinking, oh, geschmack, geschmack, I finally received the marrow, I'm enjoying my food. And what he's doing is actually drinking away his own blood and killing himself. And he says another mashal. I once heard that the Chofetz Chaim would say over the following mashal. There was a person who had committed an act of treason, and the king decided this is something which the country has to realize can never happen again. And I'm going to make an example of this person. He's going to die a very slow, horrible death in a glass cage. I'm going to starve him to death in the city square. And I'm going to send letters to the entire kingdom. Anyone who wants to come and view the death of this person can come and have a look. And they'll be able to see that this is what happens to someone who tries to poison the king. A set date was given. The gentleman was taken. He was enclosed in this glass cage in the city square, in the capital city. And it was a sight to see. People came to have a look and see what was going on as they were building this glass cage. And they put the person inside. And the first day he was sitting in there and rather embarrassed. But he was looking at people. He was waving. He was smiling. He was showing some sort of connection with them. There's one gentleman from far away at the other end of the kingdom with a rather sadistic approach to life. Thought, I'd actually like to see this through to its end. And he got himself train tickets, he made his way to the capital city. He arrives there, and he wants to see, what is this, what's this, how does this work, what's happening? So he comes, and he arrives, and it's day three. On day two, this gentleman who had been inside this glass cage in the boiling hot sun had already significantly reduced koichas, wasn't able to do very much, was sitting in one place, very forlorn, rather depressed, realizing that this is going to be his sorry end. On the third day, out of desperation, he began pulling off his own limbs and eating the flesh of his own limbs. On that day, this gentleman arrives, and he's livid. How could it be? The king has made me spend all this money to travel to the royal city to see someone sitting here. Not only is he not starving to death, he's eating meat. How can it be? And he starts to run and throw a tantrum, and he starts to shout about it, and people come along and say, what's with you? And he explains to them, they said to me, fool, do you know what meat this person is actually eating? He's eating his own flesh. That when a Rosha eats his Olam Hazeh, the Rabbeinu Shalom is actually giving him Olam Hazeh, which is for him to indulge in, not when a person takes the Olam Hazeh that he's given, uses that for tzedakah, uses it for Avodas Hashem, uses it to enhance his Avodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here we're talking about a Rosh who has everything that the Rabbeinu Shalom has given him, Olam Hazeh, and he self-indulges. What he's actually doing is eating away his own Olam Haba. David HaMelech said, and we say this every single Shabbos, a few times every Shabbos we say these. In Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, David HaMelech reiterates the same yesod, and he says, "Ish ba'ar lo yeda, a foolish person won't be perceptive, uchsil lo yavin etzos, and a fool, an idiot, won't understand. Bifroyach rishoyim kamoy esev, when we see rishoyim that seem to flower like a grass or like greenery." Vayotzitzu kol pei aleoven, and all those that perform iniquitous actions are vayotzitzu, they sprout forth, they have atzlocha. So David HaMelech, that shouldn't cause any questions. Lehishomdom adei ad. It's actually to bring about ultimate hashmoda for them. They deserve some sort of atzlocha, they perform some sort of mitzvahs, and this is to take it away. David HaMelech here tells us, at the end of Kapitel Chof Zayin, which we say every day, and this is to reinforce our understanding towards Rosh Hashanah. What we're building towards is to understand that the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to decide what currency do we want to deal with. That by the time we come to Rosh Hashanah, the exchange rate that we want with the Rabbeinu Shalom will be defined. Are we dealing in Olam Hazeh or are we dealing in Olam Haba? And we want to arrive there dealing in Olam Haba. But in order to arrive at that understanding, there's questions that are along the way. That path is filled with questions. Tzadik v'ra'aloi Rosh HaVatoivlei. How can it be? Said David HaMelech, I understood. Lulei emanti liros v'tuvah Hashem be'eretz Chaim. If not for the fact that I came to this realization, that Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us to this understanding, then I wouldn't have been able. Kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yam yislimecho. I asked the Rabbeinu Shalom to strengthen my Emunah, to continuously help me to understand that, and be able to appreciate that mimela I will be able to understand his hanog in the world, that will make my Emunah in the Rabbeinu Shalom stronger, and mimela I will be able to come in a stronger fashion towards my Avodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for us, that's our lead up towards Rosh Hashanah, towards Yom Kippur, and towards Eshana Rabbah. There are different avenues to find Chayin in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we all want to find Chayin in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, particularly now in the upcoming Chodesh, towards Rosh Hashanah, and subsequently do the Aseres and Meitshuva. We all want to find Chayin. That's what we want. If we can find Chayin in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Mekayim the first, that will help. When we daven Atoch Chayin L'Odom Das, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Chayin, which means it should be with Chayin, it should be a Matnas Chinom. How do we find Chayin in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So there's an Arachayim HaKadosh in the last Pasuk of Parashas Bereishis, where the Arachayim HaKadosh tells us, V'noyach Motzo Chayin Be'ine Hashem. No, that's something we would all love to be able to do. But how do we do it? So my Rebbe, Rav Chaim Kaufman, Zeichet Zalev Rocha, often told me this, Er HaChaim, in the following words. He said, you will see throughout life people who suddenly have a huge atzlocha at a particular point in their lives, and they cannot attribute it to anything in the near past. Those were his words. And I'll tell you that the Er HaChaim HaKadosh tells us where that atzlocha came from. Because they once performed a particular mitzvah, which is one of those mitzvahs through which a person is moitzeh chein be'in Hashem. What are those mitzvahs? So Er HaChaim HaKadosh tells us that the Eibishter didn't tell us which mitzvahs those were. Because if he would have, we'd be busy running after those mitzvahs and neglecting the others. And the Eibishter wants us to be able to perform all the mitzvahs. Every mitzvah corresponds to another part of the Ramach Evorim Shesagidim. So we have to have all of them available. We've got to chapar in every opportunity. But there are mitzvahs through which a person is moitzachim be'ine Hashem. So, since I heard that, been looking around, maybe we can find somewhere certain mitzvahs. The Chazal tell us, and the end of this coming week's parasha, there's the Bali Atosis tell us about a mitzvah through which a person is Mitzachim Be'in Hashem. The end of Parasha Shoiftim, we have the Parasha of Egla Arufa, famously known, a person exited a town on his own, was not accompanied, no one gave him any Tzedel HaDerech, no one took him on the beginning part of his journey, and he's found dead between the two parts of the two places in between two cities. What's the halacha? Torah tells us that the Kohanim, the Levim, they come, they measure out which city is nearer. There's a Kenim of that city, have to come out, they have to say, Yodeinu lo shofres adom hazeh, and Kapre la'amcho Yisrael, and that's the kapara that goes for them. The Bali Atosis here tell us that in this parasha we learn a variety of different halachas that are extremely important. Number one, that when a person has a guest, not only do they need to accompany them when they leave, but they also must ensure that they have Tzedel HaDerech. And this mitzvah of Levoya is a mitzvah which V'yeshayrim, the Levoya have a shiur mil, V'somach l'dvorav ki Malochov Yitzave Loch. The Rosh Tevis of Malochov Yitzave Loch is the Rosh Tevis mil. And that's where it comes from, that a person should be the Iker Halacha, that to accompany someone who's leaving town is to accompany them a mil.
The
Sefer Tevis
of Kim
Lochim Sabaloch
is the Shem
HaDerech. Yeah, it's a shame that's Mesugah for Kvitzat HaDerech. Yeah. So the Bali Atosis here tell us that when a person is leaving town, why do we accompany that person? We accompany that person, it gives him a certain shmira. Because the Pasuk tells us, Shalom, Shalom, Larochoik, Velakoroiv. If you accompany someone when they're leaving, say the Bali Atosis, you guarantee them a shmira of shalom, of shlemus, that they will reach their destination in the shlemus dikhaifen. Not only that, say the Bali Atosis, but there's a havtocha that it's not just for the person who's leaving, but the person who's accompanying them as well. It's not just lorochoik for the person who's distancing himself from the city, but velakore for the person who's going to return back and is near to where he's departing from, he also gets a bracha. So there's an added incentive in accompanying someone when they leave. Doing mitzvah slavoya brings bracha not only to the person that's leaving, but to the person who's doing it themselves. And then, the Bali Atosis tell us like this. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, which is talking about Torah, and Shlomo HaMelech tells us that Torah is ki livyas chein heim l'reishecha. That Torah is like a wreath of chein that a person wears on their head. A person learns Torah, a person gets chayin from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Limud HaTorah brings chayin to a person. Say the Bali Atosis, that if someone was not accompanied when he left, because if he was accompanied, then that bracha of Shalom, Shalom, Rochev HaKorev would bring him chayin. Chayin Be'inei Odom, chayin Be'inei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then what he should do to replace that is on his journey learn Torah. But what we see from Chazal is therefore that the mitzvah of Levoya, of accompanying someone when they leave our homes, which means walking them Dalad Amas from the door, brings them chayin and brings us chayin. A very simple mitzvah that we can perform, which brings them and brings us chayin. Ki livyas, the levoya is chayin heim l'reishecha. The mitzvah of levoya brings a person chayin b'ena Hashem. That's one of those mitzvahs which pretty easy to perform, and it's how we can be mitzvah chayin b'ena Hashem, which is particularly what we want to do. The Sefer Charedim tells us a very interesting thing. He says that How was Noach Moitzechein Be'ina Hashem? By being Noach. By remaining calm. He never got angry. That's another way. The Rebbeinu Shalom sends again and again and again Nisyonis to a person, particularly before Rosh Hashanah, particularly before Yom Tov, and particularly on an Erev Shabbos. The Ben Ish Chai says that the Yetzer Hara does this bedafka, because Shabbos and Yomim Tovim are times which are mesugel for bracha. And not only that, is it times for mesugel, Shabbos is mekoyah bracha, Yomim Tovim, we know there's hashpah is for bracha in the world, and the Yetzer and the Satan do not want us to receive those brachas. So how do we maintain a bracha that we receive? The last mission in Shas tells us that if a person leimotzah kodesh baruch hu kli machzik bracha ela hashalim, if there's any way that the Satan can reduce shalom in our lives at a time when it's mesugal for bracha, Shabbos is makariah bracha, Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah certainly are times of bracha, so the Satan will try anything that he can do to impede that bracha being chal. How will he do? Take away the kli that's machzik the bracha. So he'll make it there, he'll eradicate shalom. Says the Ben Ish Chai, a person has to be very, very nizah from min chatzos on Erev Shabbos till Havdalah, that nothing should disturb the shalom in him and his home. Because that will ensure that any bracha that's coming his way, and Shabbos is the makor of that bracha for the entire week, will remain with him and will stay with him. And that's what he means, v'noyach motzachei me'enei Hashem. How? By being noyach. Because he always remained calm, because he always remained, he never got angry, the Rebbeinu Shem ensured that the bracha was chal by him, because he had that kli machzik bracha. Eiz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should help us that during this Chodesh, which have the shofar that reminds us every single day of the shofar that Klal Yisrael blew, to remind them that they could rectify that which they had initially ruined on the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu went to Har Sinai. We should remember that David HaMelech told us that the Ikar Yesoid that would stopped him understanding and impeded him going forward in his Emunah was Tzadik V'Ra'aloi, Rosh HaMetovloi, but that's a belief in Olam Haba. That's what we're heading to, that's the currency that we want to be able to deal with. And the Rebbeinu Shem should give us the opportunities to be Moitze Chein Be'enov in order that we should be Zoche to Ksiv Achsim HaTovah.
Once heard a tape years ago, not before, from the Rabbi Shira Solomon, not when he was still in Gateshead. I had a paper.